So welcome, everyone, to the Spirituality and Peace series. This is David Nicol, the director of the Gaia Field Project. Welcome back to those of you who have been following this series, and welcome for those of you who are coming to the first time. This Spirituality and Peace series is designed not just to talk about peace and approaches to peace building, but specifically to build a field of peace through the direct experience of peace of the deepest part of our being. And we've been featuring practices led by mystics and elders from a variety of traditions, guiding us into a place of deep peace inside ourselves and creating a collective field of peace that's for the benefit not just of our own individual healing, but also for collective, social, global healing. So we're delighted to have you with us. In a moment, I'm very, very much looking forward to this particular call. In a moment, I'm going to introduce Mark Nasik, who will introduce our special guest today. You're in for a treat. We have a very profound healing ahead, I believe, from bringing together streams of the world's religious traditions in Judaism and Islam, that we can enter into a deep space together of healing and receiving the wisdom and the teaching of those two traditions. Just before I introduce Mark, I wanted to let you know that we're building towards a very big global event on September 21st that will represent the climax of this series. So all through the summer, we've been cultivating this field of peace and weaving in different strands from the different spiritual traditions of the world into this field of peace. And on September 21st, it's going to culminate in Be the Peace, which is very exciting now, building up a lot of steam, and it could well be one of the largest ever global meditation and prayer events in history. We'll have live events in over 380 cities from 6 to 7 p.m. in local time zones, and then there'll be three times during the day where everyone will connect at the same time via teleconference and webcast, three global attunements for peace. And then throughout the day, people can also connect virtually through a global care room, which is an internet site with a Google Earth map showing the location of participants as points of light on a spinning Google Earth map, and creates a very striking visual feedback of the global field forming in real time. BeThePeace.com has just been launched, and we invite you to go check it out, register for the calls, and we're all looking forward very much to that peak event. But now it's really my pleasure and privilege to introduce Mark Nasik. Mark is going to be hosting one of our hub sites on September 21st. He's a shaman, a yogi, a mystic, a Reiki master, a holistic health and business consultant. He's renowned for facilitating life-changing experiences, and he's been featured on television and radio nationally and internationally. He studied with many masters of the world's traditions and religions. He's presented at a large number of centers and foundations and many places around the world. He offers holistic health consulting, spiritual consulting, and executive business coaching. He has a great combination of being very grounded in the world as well as being very open to the transcendent dimension. His clientele includes regular folks, CEOs, doctors, attorneys, heads of state, Hollywood entrepreneurs, and well-known spiritual masters and teachers. So, Mark, welcome to the program.
Thank you, David. Thank you so much for being the peace and holding the space for all of these amazing calls with the Shift Network, and I'm very honored and grateful to be here and hosting the amazing experience, hopefully, that we'll be having. I am currently sitting in a very, very holy place in the Holy Land, a town, holy city called Sfat or Safed. And it's where Kabbalists and Sufis are the mystics of Islam and Kabbalists are the mystics of Judaism, where they lived for much time together because they trusted each other because they both believed in one God and they would share with each other from that place. So I'm just going to bring us, hold the space to connect to spirit, to the divine. Ana bakoach, gedulat yemincha, tetir tzura, kabel rinat amcha, sagvenu taharenu nora, nagibor dorshe yehudcha, kevavat shomrem, bakem taharem, rakamei tzidkatecha, tamid gomlem, chasin kadosh, barov tuvcha, nehel adatecha, Yehid Gehe, Lamcha Pnei, Zokre Kedushatecha, Shavatenu, Kabel, Ushmat Zaktenu, Yodea, Ta'alamot. Bismillah, Rahman, Rahim, Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alamin, Arrahman, Arrahim, Melkiyom Midin, Iyakana buduwa iyakana stain idina sarata mustakin sarata ladina ananta lehim hero magdubi elehum waladalin. Amen. Amen. In 1978, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi sent a group of 400 experts in the Maharishi technology of unified field, meditation, to the holy city of Sfat, which is on the Lebanese border. The effects of these 400 people meditating here were profound. Maharishi was all about conducting studies to show that when we go into an altered state, into an expanded consciousness through meditation, we experience deep inner peace and healing for ourselves, but not just for ourselves, for our community and our people and the land and the trees and the ecosystems. And it changes and affects physical manifestation. The war in Lebanon also changed around that time. Yes. So I was inspired to be in Sfat for this call, to be in the place in the, where the veils between the physical and the other worlds are very thin. Over a year ago, I decided to create work in an organization called Be a Light Unto the Nations, to be able to facilitate bringing down this light to all peoples, all religions, all traditions, so that people could have a direct experience of the divine within themselves. And from that inner transformation, the outer transformation occurs. I was, in December, down at the Dead Sea, and at an event where there were over 100 people, mostly Palestinians and Israelis, and some Americans and some Europeans, to learn techniques of nonviolent, compassionate communication. The highlight for me was seeing a religious Palestinian woman and a Jewish Israeli woman in tears, embracing, with 25 people around them after a talk that someone else gave that stirred us all to tears. And we had so much humanity for each other's. We had so much compassion for each other's humanity. It was just beautiful. So my intention for our time together is that we can bring a bond and a healing for all of Abraham's children. Abraham fathered the Jewish and Islamic traditions. And so in a little bit, I'm going to introduce two amazing people. They're going to talk about the primary prayer in each of these traditions. And then we're going to go into a silent meditation to access the space that I just talked about. And in that space, hopefully we'll all be touched with the energy of the divine and have an experience of the divine in ourselves. And as we're all connected in this field, let that feed all of us on this planet and increase and raise each other's consciousness so we feel peace within and without. So with that, I'd like to tell you a little bit about Dr. Ibrahim Jaffe. He's a Sufi master, an amazing man, who is the president of the University of Spiritual Healing and Sufism, formerly the Jaffe Institute. He's a gifted master healer, master teacher, who has helped thousands to heal from many spiritual and physical diseases, including cancer, AIDS, and other life-threatening illnesses. Dr. Ibrahim Jaffe is a licensed medical doctor who, for the past 25 years, has pioneered advanced energetic and spiritual healing in the West. He offers unique programs for people to feel the divine within themselves and to connect to gnosis and the love, the deep love, the mercy, and the freedom that when we touch ourselves in that place, miracles happen. And I'm going to introduce to you also Rabbi Yoel Glick. Rabbi Yoel Glick is a teacher of Jewish meditation and spiritual wisdom who has been teaching and guiding seekers on the path for over 20 years. He's taught in the United States, Canada, Israel, Asia, and Europe, and to audience of all denominations of Judaism from Orthodox, Jewish Renewal, and Reform, as well as a variety of interfaith settings. His Da'at Elyon is an online center for the study of spiritual wisdom and the practice of contemplative techniques. So I'd like to start by having Dr. Ibrahim Jaffe, an amazing Sufi master, share with us more about the prayer that I just spoke, the second one, the Fatiha, the opener. Ibrahim, welcome. I am so grateful and honored to have you be part of this with us.
Thank you very much, Mark, and welcome to our listeners. And a special thank you to David and the Shift Network for creating really something incredible that has reached so many people and with the intention of bringing peace to the world. I'm very happy to be part of that. So as you mentioned when you started out speaking, Mark, about Abraham's children, as you know, my name is Ibrahim, which is the Sufi version, the Arabic version of Abraham. And I just briefly wanted to tell you how I got that name, which was that my teacher, whose name is Muhammad al-Jamal, he's the head of the Higher Sufi Council in Jerusalem, is also one of the oldest, in fact, he is the oldest and longest man who's held the position of imam in Al-Aqsa Mosque as their chief imam. And he was, Yasser Arafat had come to him wanting him to essentially work for him and for the PLO at that time, was kind of trying to make him do what he wanted him to do. And he said to him, you know, why don't you work for us? Why are you trying to hold the middle ground between the Jewish people and the Arab people? And Sidi said, he said, I am like Abraham, and both of these people are my children, and I can only stand for both of them. And then he said, at that moment, an angel came to him and said, by the way, that's the name I want you to give to Ibrahim Jaffe. and that's how my name came to me. So I feel right at home with these teachings and have for really my whole life. Now, the Fatiha, which is the opening prayer for all of the Islamic teachings and for all of the traditional Sunni Islamic teachings as well, and also for the Shiite teachings, is really considered to be the greatest of all the what you could call the surahs or the revelations that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, brought to the earth. And the story with the Fatiha was that he was sitting with Archangel Gabriel, and this was his teacher, and Gabriel was speaking with him when he stopped and he looked up at the heaven, and he said, "A door in heaven has opened." And then he looked down and he looked up and he said, "Out of this door has come an angel, and he is now carrying with him a special set of words that have not yet ever been revealed before. And these words are of the greatest words that have been brought to humanity." And this was Surah Fatiha, this revelation that came down upon the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So with these words, in Islam and also in Sufism, it is understood that these words can bring healing, they can bring peace, they can bring love, and they can bring unity and union between any opposites. So the Surah Fatiha is of the most, it is probably the words that are most frequently spoken in the Islamic world. Personally, in our University of Spiritual Healing and Sufism, we teach our students this really in the first day, and I have, as a healer, a spiritual healer, would not ever go into healing without reciting this several times because of the depth of help that comes from it. So I think it's just a really incredible thing. Now, the only last thing I'll say about this is that as the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, described this Fatiha, he said that Allah Most High had revealed that this was actually a dialogue between the people and God, and that it has to do with both praising and thanking, and that he said that when the people would essentially say these words, that then God would respond back to the people. And that when the people said the words with true sincerity and true love, that God would respond back and give the people what they asked for. So Fatiha comes from the divine quality Al-Fatah, which means to open or the opener. And it opens people to receiving the barakah or the blessings from the Most High. So I'm going to say it one time and then I'll go over it briefly. What these different words are and what the essential inner meanings of them are. And God willing, inshallah, it will be a blessing for everybody who's listening. So just everybody go inside, if you would. Close your eyes. I know that for some of you that Arabic will be something new. It is a very holy language. As many of you know, Hebrew, Arabic all come from the Aramaic. An Aramaic was considered the original, one of the very original sacred languages on the planet. So go ahead and go inside now. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbi Alameen ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yom idin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Adina sirata al-mustaqim. Sirata al-ladina an'amta alayhim. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا
الضالين.
Amen. And always after we say Fatiha, we do a prayer. So if everyone would like to make their own special prayer now for peace or for healing, this would be a good time. We call this a dua. So if everybody would make their own dua now, please. Amen. 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 And I ask the Most High to grant all of the blessings and all of the true intentions and good wishes of all the people and the real healing for everyone, so that all of us may receive from the well of goodness and the well of healing and the well of peace that you are, my Lord. Amen. So with that, in Sufism, which is, of course, the mystical side of Islam, we always begin everything with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And this is also, by the way, done in Islam and also in all the monotheistic traditions. You see, in the name of God, the merciful and the compassionate. So the name of God, in our case, Allah means the God. Al is the and La is God. So we say the God, Bismillah ir-Rahman ir-Rahim, the God, the compassionate, the merciful. And so when we say Allah, what happens, we understand, is that in the inner reality of the very first names, of sacred names, that when we say Allah, we open the reality to the divine consciousness and the divine love and light. And it's like a direct door, a direct portal. In fact, in many ways, it's more than that. You could say it is the reality itself. So whenever we say in the name of God, what we're really doing is we're saying we connect, whoever says it, whatever your faith is, in the name of God means that you're connecting directly to the heart of God. It's a direct line into the heart of God. And Ar-Rahman, Rahman is compassion. It's the unlimited compassion that God gives to all beings, whatever they are. So everyone gets water and everybody gets food. Doesn't matter who you are, what you are, if you're good or bad. It doesn't matter. The food comes. This is Rahman. Rahim, of course, is the special mercy that comes in the very deep way when people are seeking to be at the feet of God. So when a person turns with a child who's sick and they come to God and they ask for help, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends that help to the people. For example, as a healer, two weeks ago, a woman called me with a brain-damaged child from birth, and the child's brain waves, the EEG, were very bad. The CT scan, the MRI showed a lot of damage to the cortex of the child. And she said, Ibrahim, can you help? And I said, yes, inshallah, that if we recite the divine names, and we really sincerely recite them, inshallah, God will give healing to this child. And we sat for 4 hours on the phone, and we went through these 99 names of God and deeply brought their lights and their healing power into the child. And this child, they essentially thought was going to die shortly, and if it did live, they gave it almost no chance of having any type of brain function. Well, after the 4 hours of work, the light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Most High sent through was so powerful and so incredibly beautiful that we had great hope, and 2 days later the child began to move, and 3 days later the child was functioning normally. They went in, they did the CT scan, the brain had returned to normal, the EEG had returned to normal, and they discharged this child, this healed. So when we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, the merciful and the compassionate, we are drawing forth the divine light and the divine qualities to bring the healing to the people. And then we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbi Alameen. It means all praises to God, Lord of all the worlds. And this is an honoring of God. We honor that God is the Most High, that God is the Most Great, that there's nothing beyond God. In fact, in the deepest mystical tradition, that all is from God and all is of God. So when we say, Alhamdulillah Rabbi Alameen, we are honoring and we are at the feet of the Most High and allowing that honoring. Because, you see, Allah Most High, subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not send the deep healing unless we are deeply sincere and we're really deeply in prostration to the Most High. So the more we can bow, the more we can truly be sincere in our bowing, the greater the chance that we will receive the benefits of the healing. And Alhamdulillah Rabbi Alameen brings that in. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, again, calling forth to these divine qualities. And then we say Maliki Yom Iddin. Maliki Yom Iddin means King of the Day of Judgment. In Islam and in Sufism, the Day of Judgment, of course in all monotheistic religions, is this day in the future where everything is brought forward and everything is seen as the one. So Maliki Yawm al-Din honors that very, very deep state of when we're all one and we're all brought together, and we're honoring that time when all of our actions and everything that we've done has been brought forward. And then it goes on, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, guide us to the straight path. And in our way, Adina Sirat al-Mustaqim, you do we worship, and you alone do we worship, and guide us to the straight path. It means that in our inner reality, let us not turn to anything other than God, so that we're lining up directly, completely, perfectly with the Most High through our minds, our consciousness, our souls, our spirits, our hearts, our bodies, and we're bringing through this complete alignment, the straight path. It means let's not go to the left, go to the world, let's not go to the right, let's not go to illusion, let's go directly into this place of complete and perfect alignment. And then he says something, Sirat al-Ladina and Amta alayhim, means let us not do things that might make God angry. Some people say, well, God is unconditional love, and God is certainly unconditional love. But God also has limits in the sense of we can cross those limits by doing things that are very wrong. God is deeply merciful and compassionate, but there are also limits. If we continually oppress people, if we hurt people, if we kill people, there comes a point where we cross a line in the very fabric of divine existence, and that God then becomes, we say, angry. It's not really like human anger. It's more a decision by God that says, you know, we are no longer operating in the unity of all things. And this is, it's called the wrath of God, but it's not really wrath. It's really the power of God saying, enough now. If you oppress, then I must stop the oppression because you're oppressing the goodness of the whole creation. And that's Sirat al-Ladina Namta alayhim. And then Ghayr al-Maghdubi alayhim wal-Dalin means that we ask not to be of people who go astray. Let us not be the people who have forgotten God and then therefore become a one who's gone astray. We are being, who, when we're astray, who do we follow? Well, we follow the world. We follow ourselves. We follow our shadows. We follow everything else, but we don't follow the pure goodness. So waladalin means let us not be of those who go astray. Let us be of those who are fully present. So this sort of sums up the Fatiha. And my recommendation is, you know, anybody can learn it, anybody can say it, and it brings great peace and great love and great mercy to everyone. So thank you very much, Mark. We'll turn it back to you.
Thank you, Dr. Jaffe. Wow. To hear the story of the child and what's possible, bringing down these lights is miraculous. And the thing that we have to remember is the miraculous is can be when we go there, an everyday experience. So thank you for showing us all how to connect and reach those lights and bring them down. Next, I'd like to bring on Rabbi Yoel Glick, who will tell us about the Shema. Rabbi Glick, welcome.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for inviting me to take part in this very special gathering. Thank you, Ibrahim, for your beautiful, inspiring, and moving words. Thank you, David, for including me in the Summer of Peace. I want to begin by saying that it's important for us to all realize that peace is a state of consciousness. And this is the center point of our capacity to live and receive and then give out to others peace and harmony and well-being. Because there is a place within each of us where there is calm and peace and stillness. And God dwells in this space, sacred space within the human heart. In this place, there is harmony and peace and oneness. In this place, there is light and love. We access this profound inner peace through prayer and meditation. We access the place where God dwells inside each of us through love and unity and silence. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom, and it is very similar to the Hebrew word for wholeness, shlemut. Where there is peace, there is a sense of wholeness. Everything is in its rightful place. According to the Kabbalah, according to Jewish mystical tradition, there are three columns in the mystical tree of life that underlies the whole of the universe. The right-hand column is the column of chesed, or mercy. The left-hand column is the column of din, or judgment. And the middle column is the column of harmony and compassion. In the middle column, everything is properly balanced. Everything flows together in harmony. Everything is at peace. The prayer that I would like to share with you today is called the Shema. And the Shema is the central prayer of Judaism. And it is all about oneness, and is that capacity for touching this place of oneness that brings us into the blessing of peace. The Shema is recited every day, in the morning and in the evening. The Shema is the first prayer you are taught when you are young, and it's the last prayer which you say before you die. According to the tradition, Moses taught this prayer to the children of Israel on the border of the Promised Land. Shema is a great affirmation of faith in God's oneness. It is an affirmation that everything is of God, in God, and from God. It is also an affirmation of our love for God and the truth that love is the path which will take us to the place of unity and oneness. The Shema is an affirmation of faith. It is a prayer of protection. It is a means of healing our broken spirits. The Shema raises our consciousness and binds us to God and to our soul. The Shema begins with the words, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord Adonai is our God. The Lord is one. The word Shema means to hear. But Shema is not just a physical hearing. Is a deep listening from the center of our being, a vibrant hearing in the very depth of who we are. Shema is God calling out to us and telling us to listen to the words that he or she is speaking to us. The second word is Yisrael, or Israel. It tells us who God is speaking to. God is speaking to the part of each of us that belongs to Yisrael. On one hand, Israel is a faith and a nation, but it is also a spiritual mission for God. Israel is a vast soul that ascends up through all the worlds, that is formed of all the people who are striving to reveal the presence of God upon earth. All those who are striving to fill the world with divine light. All of the individuals who are trying to help humanity live and act as one. It is from this place of high aspiration and awareness that God wants us to listen to his or her words. The next two words of the prayer are Adonai Eloheinu, the Lord is our God. we say Adonai, which means Lord, but in Hebrew, what is written is the Tetragrammaton, the ineffable name of God, composed of the four letters Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. According to the Kabbalah, this name of God represents his aspect of compassion. This name is the source of all of the compassion that flows into the universe. And when we call on this name, we are linking ourselves and drawing upon that infinite source. So Adonai Eloheinu is that the Lord of compassion is our God. And what these two words come to tell us is that God is not in some far-off heaven. God is our very own. God is right beside us, walking through all of life with us, sharing our joys and our sorrows, our triumphs and our failures. We are never alone. Then comes the final two words of the first line. Adonai Echad, God is one. At the same time that God is immanent, God is also infinite and eternal. God is one in the absolute, one in the place of pure consciousness and pure being, one in the place where everything is peace and harmony, where all is love and light. This is the first line of the Shema. The next line of the Shema declares, V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol me'odecha. And you shall love Adonai your God with all your heart and all your soul, and all of your might. B'chol levavcha, with all of your heart. This means to be ready to give all of our heart over to God, to use all of our capacity to love and cherish in divine service, to love every human being and cherish every living creature. B'chol nafshecha, with all of your soul. We need to be ready to offer our very life to God, to place our soul into his or her hands, to use all of our capacity of mind and intellect, all our ability to think and understand, to fulfill God's purpose for this world. B'chol me'odecha, with all of your might. We must be ready to dedicate all of our strength and everything that we possess to better God's world, to aid humanity, and to strengthen truth and peace and justice in the world. The Shema then goes on to tell us how to express this love for God in our lives, how to keep that love all the levavecha, a living presence in our hearts. And the first thing that the Shema tells us to do, it urges us to teach this truth to our children, Mishnantam Levanecha, because if we want peace to become part of our children's way of seeing the world, they must grow up in its atmosphere. They must grow up surrounded by the love of God, by a desire to help others, by a deep sense of compassion pervading the whole of their lives. So we need to teach our children to live meaningful lives and teach them to live lives of high aspiration and purpose. The Shema is asking us to ground our children's lives in the love of God and the service of all humankind. And we accomplish this task by speaking about God. The Shema puts it dibar tabam. Speak about God. Speak about God's love. Speak about the oneness that binds together all of creation. Make God a part of our every conversation. Bring divine love into all of our interactions and affairs. B'shivtecha b'veitecha. We need to do this when we're sitting in our house. When we're at home with family and friends, we need to speak of peace, of compassion and oneness. We need to bring divine love into the atmosphere of our home, into our daily discourse, in the way that we relate one to the other. Uvelechtecha baderech, when you walk along the way. When we go out into the world, we should not leave God at home, but take him with us. Bring God's divine love into our workplace. Bring God's presence into our every encounter, wherever it may be. Bring God into everything that we say and that we do. B'shofrecha uvikumecha, when you lie down and when you rise up. We need to begin our day with God and end our day with God. In the morning when we arise, before we start our day's activities, before a million thoughts and responsibilities come flooding into our heads, we need to take a moment and connect to the place of calm and stillness inside us, the place where God dwells. And then we can go about our daily activities. And before we lie down to sleep at night, again, take a moment to go back to that place of quiet and peace, the place of love and oneness, and then enter into the land of dreams. U'kishatem le'ot al yadecha. The Shema tells us that we need to bind God's words for a sign upon your arm. We need to bind all of our actions to God. We need to infuse everything we do with divine love, with compassion, with calm acting from a place of inner peace and wholeness and calm. V'hayu l'tzotafot b'nei necha, and they shall be a frontlet between your eyes. It means we need to keep the awareness of God alive in our consciousness as we go about our day, to find that place in the spiritual center of Chochmah Bina, wisdom and understanding, which is commonly called the third eye, to feel God's presence and living presence there, and at regular intervals throughout the day, go back to touch that place and bring that stream of consciousness and presence and life into everything that we're doing. To take that place of love and harmony and oneness at the core of our being and make that the center point from which we act in the world. Uktavtam al mezuzot beitecha, and you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house. As we enter our home, and as we leave our dwelling, we need to stop and remind ourselves who it is that we really are, and why we have come into this world. We have come into this world to become instruments of God. We have come into this world to be instruments of divine peace, love, and compassion. Uvisha'arecha, and upon your gates. The Shema is telling us to place a symbol of God's presence at the entrance of our cities, to remind us that our cities are meant to be a vehicle to fulfill God's will, meant to be a space that God can dwell in. The Shema is pleading with us to place God's love at the center of our communal life, to remember that our national activities also need to be infused with the thought and the presence of God. Upon your gates also refers to the gates of our body and our senses, because we need to raise our state of consciousness until everything that we see, hear, taste, smell, and touch reminds us of the oneness of all being and the God who is compassion, peace, and love. Now I want to recite the Shema prayer. And as I chant the words, I ask everyone to try and connect to these sublime thoughts and aspirations which are contained within this prayer. Strive to touch the place of peace, harmony, and oneness, to engrave the love of God and all of the creation in your heart, mind, and soul. Tap into the power that is built up in this prayer over 3 millennia of affirmation, faith, and profound aspiration. Draw on the great reservoir of spiritual energy that is the Shema. Shema Yisrael. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha v'chol levav. Uvechol nafshecha, uvechol meodecha. Hayu hadvarim ha'el, asher anochi mitzavcha. Hayom, al levavecha, v'shinantam levanecha, v'dibarta bam, v'shivtecha beveitecha, uvelechtecha baderech, uveshochvecha, uvekumecha. Ukshatam leot al yadecha, v'hayu letotafot bein einecha, uktavtam al mezuzot beitecha, uvisha'arecha.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Yoel. So as we stay in this place of prayer, I invite you all to go or continue to go within and to receive the lights that Dr. Ibrahim Jaffe and Rabbi Yoel Glick have pulled down from the other world into this world, and allow the light to digest and integrate into your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual bodies in silence. And at the top of the hour, I'll bring us out of meditation, and anyone that wants to stay at that time will have questions and answers. So let your eyes close, keep your breath slow, and just receive. consciousness returns to the breath, breathing in and breathing out. Feel the belly expand and contract. Feeling your toes and your fingers as consciousness returns to your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual bodies now. As you continue to feel the light in your body, the energy in your body, bring awareness fully back into your body, feeling subtle movement in your spine. And whenever you're ready, take a deep breath in, exhale, and gently open the eyes, and welcome home. Welcome home.
Okay, so we're at the top of the hour, so if people need to go, then we thank you and bless you, take this with you for the rest of your day. But if you can stay, would like to stay, we do want to keep this open for a little while longer for any questions or comments, any sharings from that meditation, anything about your experience. The line is open. If you want to share, then press star 2 on the phone, and we'll give you the mic. And find us to remain in the prayerful silence as well. But the field is open, the call is open for sharing. And if you're in the webcast, then you can type a question into the chat box, and we'll read it out to everybody. So there's one comment from the chat room, which is from, I think it is from Ruth in Arizona, saying just simply, lovely, deep, shared prayer. Gracias. Thank you. And I do know it can be very difficult to move into words after being in the silence like this. And it's fine for us to remain in the field of silence. But if there's something to share, then again, star 2 on the phone. Okay, so I think that our audience is in a place of deep silence, which I'm not surprised by. I'll just share for myself. I was just deeply affected by the vast field of presence and light that I experienced, and the weight, in a sense, of the traditions that we invoked, and the power of the line that we invoked today. So I'm just deeply, deeply grateful to you, Rabbi Yol, and Dr. Ibrahim Jaffe, Rabbi Yol Glick, and to you, Mark. Beautifully done. And so we thank all of you and all our audience here for participating today and helping us to co-create this field of healing and silence. I just wanted to let you know next week is the final call in this Spirituality and Peace series, and we'll feature Debbie Rosman from the Institute of HeartMath, who are the ones who have created the Global Care Room, which is a beautiful way for us to come together on the planet and to recognize the global field. And would just remind you again that this series will culminate on September 21st with our Be the Peace global meditation and prayer event, perhaps the largest global, one of the largest global meditations that has been on the planet. And the information about that is at bethepeace.com. So until next week, have a blessed week, and namaste to all of you.
Shalom.
Thank you, everyone. Salam alaikum.
Alaikum shalom. Thank you, Ibrahim. Wonderful to share the space and the prayer and meditation with you. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, David. An honor and privilege to be together.